Hard.
Ooh, ooh, women whose wisdom is in dreams. Where do I go to find images of woman, woman made? Where do I go to find images of woman, woman made?
Good evening, and welcome to Woman, the show that explores the evolution and the revolution of the ideas that define and confine woman, biologically, sociologically, and personally. Redefining woman as the wild, open, magical, authentically empowered nectar she is, revealing her as the goddess. And I'm your host, Gina Cloud.
I have a really terrific guest on tonight with a topic that I'm very much looking forward to exploring. But before we get there, and I know I say that almost every week because I'm just intent on bringing really good content to you guys, and I appreciate the mail that I get. I hesitate to call it fan mail, even though that's what it is. Some part of my ego doesn't like to use that word, but I appreciate your feedback and your support, letting me know how much you love the show and what I'm bringing in terms of information and just the content, that it's important and valuable and that you look forward to what I'm doing. It means the world to me. So I wanted to say thank you to all of you for your love and support over the last 3 years. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, I want to welcome you and say thank you, let you know that there are over 100 episodes currently. You can find those episodes by going to my website, which has been newly redone, and it's really beautiful. I have to say, I set out to create something that would be kind of a place, if you can imagine, because it's internet, to kind of hang out and feel beauty. And I really think I managed to do that, and it's just a beautiful website. The address is www.redefiningwoman.com, and you can find the archives for my past shows there. Also, a reminder that my book, it's been out, I guess, just about 3 weeks now, my book called Woman, A New Definition, which is, it's about 100 pages, and it's an introduction to the meaning of woman as I've redefined us, the acronym W-O-M-A-N. And it's an introduction, as I said, because the future books are going to dive in deeper to different subjects, being a woman's guide to whatever the topics will be. So please check out the book. Additionally, it is available on Amazon. There is a link to the Amazon site to purchase it on my website, but I would love to have you go to the site to explore the book first because of the fact that I am donating 50% of my proceeds to a very worthy cause, and you will not find that information on Amazon. So please check out the website. And a reminder of the meaning of woman as I have redefined us. The W is wild, the O is open, the M is magical, the A is authentically empowered, and the N is nectar. And in my book, each chapter is an exploration of those letters in depth. I also want to remind anybody that's interested in having me come to wherever you are in the world to do workshops or give talks, please contact me. I'm ready, willing, able, and longing to do so. And don't forget that I'm also doing private natural beauty life coaching, life transformational coaching with a spin on natural beauty, which is really from the inside out. So if you're interested in those sessions or you get a 25% discount off your first one, please give me a call. You can find my contact information on my website, again, www.redefiningwoman.com. Now, of late, it seems that I've had a lot of interest and energy in my life sort of coming in the direction of male-female relationships, polarities, being our authentic selves, empowerment through the vehicle of relationship. And my guest tonight, we're going to explore, his book is really oriented towards men, and I have to say, I haven't finished his book because there was a glitch in receiving it. I have to tell David, I'm going to be demanding here for a second and tell him he's got to come back because there's no way we're going to be able to cover it's an amazing book. And I really was reading what I have read, the first 100 pages, feeling like it's a strong it's a strong complement to my own book and my own work. So he's going to have to come back to do more here. But I'm going to bring him on because we have lots to talk about. And as you know, I am always mortified when I get to my last 5 minutes and I have so much more to discuss. So I'm going to introduce David, and then we are going to just jump in and start exploring this great subject matter. So my guest tonight is David Bruce Leonard, who spends his time between Oregon and Hawaii. He's currently in Hawaii. David is a practitioner and teacher of all five branches of traditional Chinese medicine, which include acupuncture, herbal medicine, massage, dietary therapy, and martial arts exercises. David has studied traditional medicines with healers in Asia, North and South America, and Hawaii. With a master's degree in traditional Chinese medicine, he has a working knowledge of more than 400 traditional Hawaiian, Chinese, and Western plants. A deep ecologist and Hawaiian native plant specialist, he has been a student of Hawaiian medicine since 1992. David studies, lectures, and teaches on cross-cultural uses of plant medicines, environmental concerns, traditional plant gathering practices, subgenus perspectives, and pragmatic approaches to healthcare. He is known for his offbeat sense of humor, which really comes through in his book, and sometimes wears his pants too short. David can often be seen in Hawaiian rainforest wearing his favorite trash bag as a raincoat. David, welcome
Hello.
To Redefining Woman.
Thank you so much, Gina.
Ah, that's better. We were having a little bit of a difficulty, but I can definitely hear you much better.
That's working.
So excited to have you on. You know, people hear me say that a lot at the top of the hour because I'm very selective about what I choose, but your book is incredible. And I think you heard me say at the top that I really want you to come back. So can we pick a date?
Sure, let's do it.
At the end, because this is just incredible information. So.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, there's a lot of material stuffed into that little book.
Well, it took you 9 years. And
that's true.
It's pretty powerful. So here's what I want to do, because I rarely read extensive excerpts from people's books, but this is one of those books where I was going through it this afternoon in the sun.
Good job.
And I was just so blown away by the way you express these ideas. The language is beautiful, and I want to give people an opportunity to hear it because, you know, I'd love to support you and have every man and woman run out and get this book. But we're focused mostly on men tonight because this your book. Say the title of your book for me, David.
The book is called How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls, Man's Guide to Sacred
Love that.
Sex.
How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. That title got my attention right away. So I'm going to start by reading a few paragraphs from your introduction. I've really acquired quite a following of men on my program. And as I read through your book, a lot of what comes through for me is the subtle similarities, and sometimes not so subtle, between what men and women really need to achieve from within in order to have healthy relationships. But your book is focused on speaking to men, so I want to read this intro because it's just brilliant. Also, in case I didn't tell you, we can't say the F word on the air, so we have to say the F word instead.
This will be totally G-rated.
It's okay. I don't like G-rated, but we're now
regulations. I will follow your lead.
I don't like G-rated. It's boring. But anyway.
Okay.
I want to read this intro. This is part of the introduction to David's book. If you're like me, you're probably sort of attached to your balls. I mean, you'd prefer to keep them where they are, maybe even use them once in a while. Keeping your balls while worshiping the goddess is extremely difficult. It may well be the most difficult thing you have ever done. Keeping your balls with a heart-pounding female gnawing at your soul and begging you to love her, to F her, to devour her, will not be easy. Keeping your balls while worshiping the goddess will mean facing the worst enemy you have ever encountered in your life, a hideous, nasty, and cruel creature who will go to any length to deceive you, to keep you from your happiness. Who is this enemy? Is it some castrating female, some dangerous Lolita? Is it an evil, seductive vagina with sharp teeth drawing you in, seducing you, only to then rip out your heart and God knows what else? No, nothing like that. If only it were that easy. Okay, here we go. Pick up a mirror. Really, pick up a mirror and take a good, long look. Your enemy is in this mirror. The enemy in this mirror is you. That's powerful, and I love it.
The men have just shut off their radio. Please.
It's funny because as I was reading it, I knew it was going to be that because my work is very similar, but it's brilliant. I knew, you know, when you wrote this, I said, this is incredible, and this will keep them turning pages. So why don't we start there, David, and kind of talk about that idea of of reflection, as woman as a reflection.
Yeah, my perspective on you know, in worship the goddess, I try and send forth or put out my perspective on relationships, and that relationships are basically a path or a yoga. And our partner, when relationships are working well, and even when they're working poorly, a relationship is best used as a mirror. And, you know, like I say in the book, you know, we all want to be admired, we all want to be loved, but when somebody gets to know us after a while, they're probably not going to admire us, or at least not the way they did at first.
Right.
But the things they don't admire about us are things we need to look at. And the trick is differentiating between their projections and what is true. So for me, and this is obviously, for most of us, I'm sure, has been a very long and difficult path of navigating relationships and finding those incredible gems that come out of good and bad relationships. Because bad relationships are just as valuable as good relationships. Sometimes they're better.
Yeah, in fact, you talk about that in the book, and one of the things that I find so valuable and compelling, and it's a great read. You're a good writer. I like the way you put words together. But one of the things that's so valuable about it is that you introduce a different perspective. And for me personally, that's what my work is all about, is a new perspective. And, you know, I think there's a quote, I can't remember. You have so many pages of wonderful quotes, and I know I pulled it out, but I don't have it accessible at the moment. One of the quotes in your book, I forget who it's by, also was something sort of to the effect that when things get tough, then the real relationship's beginning.
Right, it was by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche.
Yeah,
yes.
That was really powerful. It was one of the powerful ones. They're all
on the first disappointment. That's when the real relationship begins.
Ah, that was it.
When we are deeply disappointed, right? When we are deeply disappointed, that's when the relationship actually begins.
Now there's
that
there,
is true.
There is a also one of the things that I love your respect and reverence for woman as the goddess. And it's just beautiful. I mean, honestly, I want to read more. It's just so incredible, but I want to hear you talk. So, I'm going to read just the first paragraph, and then I want you to expound on it in your own language, which this book is your own language. But you have a section that says, what does it mean to worship the goddess? And I tell you, this is just so beautiful to me. And this is another excerpt. It says, to worship the goddess is to enter divinity in a human form, to feel silk penetrate us, to feel goodness permeate ourselves. To worship the goddess is to honor trees and branches, limbs and flowers and roots. To stand in awe of stars and see her spanning across the heavens. To find goodness in a woman who is strong and fragile. To love her when she may not even love herself. To look for the best in her, but still hold her accountable. To worship the goddess is to understand that a relationship is a garden that has two gardeners, but that it can perish if either fails to abide. To recognize that seeds planted often sprout, and that shit properly used creates flowers. To worship the goddess is to become a fish that had never known it was thirsty. And there's so that's I could go on. It's just beautiful. I mean, when you wrote this, or as I was reading what you wrote, I just could feel your connection to this truth. So, tell us more about what it means to worship the goddess.
Well, actually, there's an interesting part just after that that says, when we stand bleeding and we see that, when we hate her, as we stand bleeding and we see that she holds the knife. And that's the other side of this. You know, there's this reverence, this deep reverence. Sometimes it comes from a deep and insecure need, and sometimes it comes from a profound respect. You know, the same way, you know, in its badly aspected form, it would be insecurity, enmeshment. In its well-aspected form, it would be the same kind of reverence that we have for watching, you know, looking at a flower or watching an incredible sunrise. You know, I think it's when we step back from our patterns and from our stories, and when we really look at this incredible miracle that relationships are, I think it can give us a perspective of gratitude. And my Hawaiian teacher is always. Have always told me that the only emotion that will never betray you is gratitude.
Mm.
I don't know if that's exactly true, but that's what they would tell me, and they still tell
Beautiful.
Me. Yeah. So I think it's one of the things that happens is when we get our balls back, when we grow roots into our lives as males, as men, as powerful men, we no longer need to project on our partner, and we're willing to take the hit. We're willing to look at ourselves, and in doing so, we free our partner. When we reclaim our power, we no longer have to project on her, and we no longer project on her. We can reflect an accurate and compassionate mirror to her. And that's worship. You know, to me, that's worship. That is allowing her the space and the room to be who she fully is, and
yes.
really honoring that.
Yes.
And also honoring that by setting boundaries. Also honoring that by not letting her project on us. By calling her on her issues. So it's not that, the book is a bit tongue-in-cheek. It's not just worshiping the goddess as in groveling. It's worshiping the goddess as elevating both of us together.
Absolutely, and that's and one of the pieces in that, what I would have read, which was a couple pages on the section of what it means to worship the goddess, is I like what you say here. You say, to worship the goddess is to take ourselves by the balls and go inside alone to work through the dark, painful retching that drives us. To worship the goddess is to transform ourselves into something worthy of sacrifice. To be strong when we don't want to be, vulnerable when we don't want to be, but always keeping a candle burning inside for ourselves. It is said that only a god can truly worship a goddess. Yes, we are our own way home, but her mirror can illuminate our path. And the idea that those parts of ourselves, the shadow, as you talk about in the book as well, those shadow elements that the projection that woman becomes to man, and also, of course, that man becomes to woman, is very powerful. And when we see the things we don't want to see, how we handle that. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's easy to have integrity when things are going well, but when you've been kicked hard by a relationship and you're on your knees, you know that's when you can tell whether you have your balls or not. If you do the right thing, no matter what your partner does. If you have your balls and you get knocked down, you can get up. You don't have to be around that person, but you can hold space for yourself and you don't have to retaliate. And to me, that's you know, one piece of integrity. There's a lot of other pieces to that.
Yeah, how do you suggest that men acquire an ability to do that? Because there is a lot of projection and blame that goes on. We always want to say it's outside of us, it's them, and you talk about that internally referring perspective versus the externally referring one, and we'll talk about that in a few. But for instance, you know, using yourself as an example, obviously, you know, you talk about this in the book, that this has been, you know, a nine years in the writing, but this is your life's work. What have you learned in your journey personally?
Years ago, when I finally, quote-unquote, got my balls back, when I realized who I am, this was, I'm 53 right now, and I was about 36, and I had completely come unglued in a relationship, and I had been seeing a therapist for years, and one day I just finally got it. You know, there's a gap between stimulus and response, and Viktor Frankl wrote in Man's Search for Meaning that gap between stimulus and response is where our freedom is. And for me as a man, I want to be free. And the only way I can be free and the only way I can get my balls back is by not letting other people run me. So that means knowing who I am. So at the time, when I finally figured out who I am, I did a personal inventory. And, of course, it's an ongoing process. You know, it's always pieces of shadow that keep coming up. But at that point, I just looked and I saw who I was, and it was quite profound. It's amazing to come home to oneself. And in the book, I say it's as unmistakable as an orgasm when it happens.
Mm.
It's just like getting hit in the head with a brick. So I guess what I would say to not only men but everybody is that your life doesn't have to run you. You can run your life. You know, there are always things that come up that affect us that we have no control over. But the only thing we always have control over is our behavior. And the degree to which we have control over our behavior is the degree to which we are free. Mm. Liberty is, you know, being able to move around in the world. Freedom is an internal process for me anyway. And that's, and if you're in, again, when we're in a relationship and we're hurting, relationships bring up our pain. That's one of the things they do. That's one of the greatest gifts of a relationship is the pain we receive from it. Because that pain points to our healing. That pain points to, that pain is telling us as men, this is where we need to go.
Yeah, it's like growing pains in adolescence. I mean, they're physical, but it's growth, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure you know that, too, in your life. You know,
absolutely, my God, you know, and you talk about relationship as a path, and it was so beautifully expressed. I had never really thought about it that way, because people think of, you know, I'm a Buddhist, or, you know, I'm on this path or that path, but relationship is a path, and it really, truly is a path. And if you look at it that way and you see it as a process, as the journey to self, as all those other paths really are, and we knowingly know these other paths are a path to self, but I think that something, the way you express this in the book, even I went, aha, I never thought about it that way, that relationship is another path to self. And,
right.
It's really, really, you know, the things I have learned about myself through relationship are profound.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the long-term ones, I mean, if you know, we have relationships, we have encounters and projections with people on a daily basis, but the ones that we really hunker down into and go through the shadow and really, you know, the anger, the deep stuff that most you don't experience with most people on a daily basis, that's where you grow. That's where all the rich, deep stuff is. But unless you're in a relationship with someone that is equally committed to relationship as path, generally, it doesn't really, you know, go the distance. I think if
if somebody's not differentiated, if somebody is not in relatively the same place as us, it will not work.
Yeah.
And
if there's not a commitment to it as a path, as well on both sides, because I think if you both realize it's a path on both sides, then you're willing to hold space for that process that needs to happen. But as you say about a garden, and both people need to be gardeners.
And at a minimum, I'm sorry, go on.
No, it's okay, because if that doesn't happen, it can't work.
As a minimum, there has to be a commitment to the relationship, whether it's, you know, a monogamous relationship or a polyamorous relationship, there has to be a commitment to it. Without commitment, nothing happens.
Exactly, and yeah, God, there's just so much in your book. It's really profound. I want to jump back to a second of something I mentioned about 5 minutes ago, where you talk about the external frame of reference and the internal frame of reference and getting back your balls. And I love your little subtitle here. It says, honey, can I use the balls tonight for your external frame? You have a great, wicked sense of humor. You don't know. I just love that. I mean, love, you know, irreverent humor. Love it. So,
good.
Honey, can I use the balls tonight? Can we talk about that one?
Yeah. I'd rather not talk about myself if I
wasn't asking.
No, I understand. I'm being flippant. That's what we do as men. We so want this relationship to work. I want this so bad. You are my everything, baby, you know?
Yeah,
and when our partner is the high desire, as the low desire partner, when they can take us or leave us, just like, you know, whatever, there's this deep drive to do whatever we need to do. And as guys, what do? We manipulate, right? We manipulate women through what we control through withholding. You know, there's tons of how to pick up chicks videos out there. And, you know, all this stuff works. You know, you can like act nonchalant. You can make bad jokes. There's these seminars you go to where they teach you how to pick up chicks, so to speak.
Yeah,
but what do you do when you're in the relationship?
Exactly.
You know, yeah, you might end up in bed with somebody for a night or two, but what are you going to do when you actually have to be intimate? Then what are you going to do? So I think that, I'm sorry, I totally lost where I was going with that.
Honey, can I have the balls tonight?
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're in a place when you really want to be with somebody that you just adore, you cannot go into that relationship without knowing who you are. And that's a long process, but at least there needs to be an attempt to do that, to try and find out who you are. And that comes from what I call courage, self-reflection, and being willing to accept feedback. Take a look. Sometimes, you know, sometimes our women will tell us things that are totally untrue about us because they're projecting. Sometimes they'll tell us things that are totally true and we've been nailed.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's both. Sometimes we piss them off because they're hooked in their in their paradigm, but then also because they nailed us because it's true.
Right.
And so, you know, honey, can I use the balls tonight means I need to reclaim my power. And, you know, the truth is that nobody takes it from us. We give it away.
Right.
And that doesn't mean being macho or distant. You know, that doesn't mean being cold. That means having the guts to look inside and really do your work as men. I've been involved with a group over the last 6 months called the Mankind Project. And they do remarkable work, incredible work. And actually, I had joined up with these men before, after the book had already been written, but the same conclusions that I came to in the book, you know. I would encourage men to do their work, go into therapy, or go into a circle of men. Men that aren't going to blow sunshine up your butt.
Right.
You know, men that are going to tell you the truth in a loving, compassionate way, but they're not going to hold back. They're going to tell you the truth. And that's the only way that we can get our balls back from our partner, because she doesn't take them. We give them away.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, and that's one of the things I know for myself as a strong way. I love, there's a line in your book that made me laugh so hard. Because sometimes people will actually say to me that I'm Aphrodite, and some people will say that I'm Kali. And you use both of those in a line, and I laughed so hard. It's like, yes, you can't get Aphrodite without getting Kali, and it's very true. And I know for me, that's where all the depth is, you know, and in the interplay between, you know, Aphrodite is A and it's called Kali Z, really, there's a whole range in between there. But it's so important for me as a woman to be able to have a man who's standing in himself and his integrity and those roots that you're going to not let me get away with stuff, I cherish that. I don't want somebody that's going to tell me I'm always right or say, yes, dear, I'm so not interested in that.
Right.
So, you know,
and most women tell me the same thing. They don't want that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, younger, maybe perhaps younger women, but more mature women of more substance, you're not interested in that, you know, and really want somebody that knows who he is and is standing. I love what you talk about integrity. That's a big piece of what I talk about in my work and in my book, and I kind of, my reference to integrity is sort of standing in your own truth, standing in who you are, is what integrity is to me. And so for a man to be in his integrity 24/7 is just really a powerful thing to me. That's the greatest aphrodisiac for me, is someone that's like that, you know, is really self-contained. And, you know.
That's great. And so then the people that you are with will have that. You know, that's one of the things that I look for in a partner when I'm in a relationship, is I want to know that I can navigate this with a person who's not going to who's going to be able to do it with me.
Right.
You know, not somebody that I can manipulate or push around, because it's a dead end.
Or who tries to do it for you as well.
That's right.
The respect for your personal space to navigate and steer your own ship, you know.
Right, and allows you your process. Allows
exactly.
You the fact that, you know, they can see that you're headed for a cliff, and they can say it once or twice, but you know what? It's your motorcycle, it's your cliff, and best of luck. I'll be there when you get done.
Yeah, exactly. Or to say,
maybe.
Do you want to know what I think? And if they say no, okay, fine. I'm here if you want to know. Or, you know, okay,
right.
Here's what I really think.
I'll have the Band-Aids when you're done.
Exactly.
Right. That's right.
Humor's a good thing, you know. David, we're going to take only one break tonight because there's just too much rich stuff here, and I don't like breaking flow. But we're going to take our one and only break tonight. And when we come back, we'll just dive in some more. So
fantastic.
This is Gina Cloud. We'll be back in 2 minutes with
What makes you feel beautiful? If you'd like to learn to love yourself from the inside out, then get ready for a natural beauty consultation with Gina Cloud. No matter what you do to your physical body externally, you'll never radiate beauty unless you're sourced by your inner being. Gina Cloud will teach you about beauty that no procedure or product can give at a fraction of the cost. She'll show you how to age gracefully and how to look in the mirror and love what you see. Call 310-994-6475 or visit www.redefiningwoman.com to book your first session by phone or in person. If you mention CTR, you'll receive a 25% discount on your first session. Remember, call 310-994-6475 or visit www.redefiningwoman.com.
You know, there are many things in the world that cannot happen without people believing in other people. Product, service, vision, passion, and more. And that holds true with the sponsors of Contact Talk Radio. You hear us say, making contact with what matters to you. That's not just a statement. It's what we believe. ContactTalkRadio.com has been broadcasting intriguing, lighthearted, informational shows around the world for many years, much of which would not happen without our sponsors. You too can benefit from our sponsors by checking them out on the website at www.contacttalkradio.com. Click on Sponsors. There you can browse the many companies who continue to flourish and pave the way for more businesses and give a helping hand to a growing economy. Contact Talk Radio applauds our sponsors for their support. You too can become a sponsor and add your support to the cause. To learn how, go to the website at www.contacttalkradio.com and click on Sponsor. Or email info@contacttalkradio.com.
This is contacttalkradio.com, making contact with what matters to you.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Welcome back. This is Gina Cloud, your host. You're listening to Redefining Woman, and my guest tonight is David Bruce Leonard, the author of How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls, which is a terrific title and a terrific book. Highly, highly, highly recommend this book. And for my male listeners, those of you that have been writing to me and reading my book, this is so along the same lines. I really, really give this book a very high endorsement, particularly for you men, but for women also, because this speaks to a lot of the same concepts I talk about in my work, on the show, in my book, but you can see it more through the male lens, and so I highly recommend this book. And David, they can get it through Amazon, but also where else can they go to get your book?
They can go to my website, davidbruceleonard.com.
Okay.
It's three first names, davidbruceleonard.com. And also, I believe Elliott Bay Bookstore has it in Seattle on Main Street, South Main Street.
Okay. David Bruce Leonard. Now, that's funny, because I could see, like, if somebody's in a relationship with you, they could decide who David is to them, who Bruce is, and who Leonard is, and depending on what they call you.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Okay, so I wanted, okay, we were just talking about that external frame of reference and the internal frame of reference, which is really, you know, coming home to yourself. One of the things that I find and speak about that I see in my perception as a woman out there that's missing for men is a connection to their heart and feelings. And you talk about this in your book also. You say, another quote, it says, "But in order for us to access this internal frame of reference, we must push through the numbness that we've created in our chests as boys and young men. We have to overcome the fear of discovering who we are. In order to integrate and return home through the fog of our lives, we have to know what we are feeling." I personally think that this is a huge issue for a lot of men in our culture, being connected to feeling and letting that be okay. I'd love to have you talk about this element of man and masculinity.
Yeah, in the book I talk about how we shut off from the neck to the navel. Mm. And I believe that part of that is biological, that because we are males are bred to be warriors. Our job is to protect the tribe against wild animals or wild men, you know. And in order to do that, to do our job through evolution, if we're going to go out and kill an animal or even more intensely kill another human being, another man, we have to shut off our empathy. There's no way around it. You can't protect the tribe without shutting your chest down. You can't kill other men without shutting your chest down. And that was our job through the, you know, 100,000 years of evolution that brought us here. Unfortunately, with that inheritance, we also find it hard to navigate who we are as men. We're so used to shutting our chest down that we don't know who we are. And most tribal societies have rituals that help men open their chest back up. They have healthy male role models. They have rites of passage. That's what the Mankind Project does. They put men through a rite of passage, and I believe the purpose of that is to open their chest so that they can feel their feelings and still keep their balls. They can cry, they can hold space, they can grieve. You know, in Africa, tribes will, there are ritual grieving for men. Some tribes will have all the men get together and they go out into the woods and they will grieve for days. They'll just cry. Because they understand that in order for those men to be, you know, we need our men to be, you know, dangerous enough to protect us, but safe enough to keep the women and children safe. And in order for men to be safe enough to keep the women and children safe and to navigate being a father and a husband, we have to know what we're feeling. And it's painful.
David, one of the things that I feel is a truth that maybe a lot of, I don't know how many women perceive this as truth or how many men realize that this is a truth, I think, for women about men. To me, a man's heart, a man who has his sense of his own roots and his integrity, a man like that, his heart is the most incredible place on the planet to visit, to inhabit, to spend time. And when men are really who they are, when they're in that authentic self and they have their balls, it is just, a man's heart is so deep to me. It is one of the deepest places. I think a woman's heart is available, expansive, and ever-changing. But there's a quality to a man's heart that is so deep and profound that I've been very blessed to know that place in quite a few men in my life. And I think in my work, that's part of what I long to do is to help men find that place. Because it only comes from being really clear about who you are and standing in that space. But it is just, I mean, I get almost teary-eyed thinking about it. It is a profound place.
Yeah, it is, and you're right. You can't, you know, in my world or in my meme or paradigm, the measure of man's heart is also a reflection of the size of his balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because most men will not have their heart that big, and the only men that can afford to have their heart that big are men whose balls are that big.
Exactly. It really is true, because you know who you are. It's funny, I was sharing this scene from, have you seen the movie Out of Africa?
Years ago, yes.
Robert Redford?
Yes.
Well, there's a scene, I don't know if you remember it, I've shared this with some men. I'm on a forum and I often give my input and feedback about women and relationships and things like that, but there is this scene that Robert Redford to me embodies just this really powerful man with his balls and the deep heart. And he and Meryl Streep are sitting around a fire, and he sort of comes and goes as a hunter. She never knows when she's going to see him. And this is sort of starting to get to her, as it would, you know, a lot of women who are used to wanting to know what's coming next with the man. And so she starts taunting him, and not really taunting him, but sort of egging him about marriage. And he kind of says, you know, well, why? What would marriage give us that we don't already have? And then she's sort of in an emotional outburst at one point in the scene, and he's very calm and centered. He's not reactive. He's in that space of stimulus and response, as you talked about. And she just says, well, I don't think you should come. Then you shouldn't come to my house anymore. And he says, okay, fine. And he was so in who he is and not willing to deviate from what his truth was that he was willing to let the relationship go.
Not only that, he's allowing her to be who she is.
Exactly.
It's the ultimate respect, you know, and in a lot of ways, being able to walk away from a relationship that doesn't serve both people is not only wisdom, but a sign of deep respect of women.
Yeah, it just really is so true. And when to do it with grace and with love, without
right.
blame, without anger,
right.
his character was doing it from a very centered place. Hers was doing it from a reactive place. But if two people can arrive at that place, and that's why, like, I think about the fact that I'm still friends with all my exes.
Yeah, so am I.
You know,
yes.
And to me, I always think, if I loved this person, why do I need to hate them or never speak to them again? If I was willing to share my time, my life, my body, my heart with them, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Maybe so, because they told us the truth.
So. Yeah, and we were willing to, and I was willing to tell them the truth, you know. So there becomes a place, hey, you go through a transition from romance to friendship, but it's a powerful thing to be able to evolve something and to know that you've come to the end of a road with someone, and it could be months, it could be years, but to both recognize, okay, we're done, but we don't have to hate each other, we don't have to, you know, sling mud or say bad things about each other.
Yeah, and there may be a time of healing where you kind of go back into your cave and lick your wounds for a while before you emerge again. Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you really, if you think about it, you know, if it's not a one-night stand, if it's a relationship of consequence, then there was a reason you loved that person. And that also is a clue to how you're put together.
Right.
You know, the things that you love about that person and the things that you hate about them say something about us. You know, if we can find those things, because we say we fall in love as if we, you know, kind of fell into some bushes or something. But we're actually not the case. We're actually, there are specific things we're attracted to in people. And if we can figure out what those things are, we get a clue as to who we are as human beings. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah, and you talk about, also in the book, you talk about becoming the person that you'd like to be in a relationship with. And
right.
That's so important. I mean, if you can stand in yourself and go, would I want to be in a relationship with someone like me? And you can say yes.
Right.
Or if you say no, you know what I mean?
That's the other half of the men just left. Right.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, but, you know, to work on self, then what you attract as a projection becomes, you know, really beautiful, I think. And that's something, there's something that you talk about that I want to talk about in a moment, which is sort of the girlfriend thing.
Oh, the good girlfriend, right.
The good girlfriend. I think this is for my women listeners. I really wanted to talk about this because it feels very important for women to hear this. And for men as well, of course, to be aware of what they're doing when they want the good girlfriend. But before we dive into that topic, David, I wanted to touch briefly on the second half of your book, which we are going to explore in the next hour that we do together, which will be hopefully soon within the next month. The second half of your book has a lot to do with techniques and practices and ways to accomplish a lot of what we're talking about right now. Would you share with us a little bit about that so people know what to look forward to next time?
Sure, yeah. The first half of the book is about finding and reclaiming our balls, or finding, locating and reclaiming our balls. It's about issues for men, but women also, about how to take power in your life. The second half is about, really the first half is about learning how to be emotionally intimate. The second half is learning how to be sexually intimate in a way that is, I think, is profound. There's sections in the book on breathing exercises that you can do with your partner while you're making love, which, you know, there's also a lot of body work techniques that you can do for the men that they can do with their partner while making love. And a lot of guys are going to say, you know, why would I bother doing that? Why would I bother having massage when I was making love? Well, that's because they haven't tried it.
Right.
I mean, it is amazing. And, you know, a lot of these things, there's a lot of detail. You can enhance arousal tremendously by changing your breathing and changing and doing body work on your partner, or having her doing body work on you. I mean, really mind-blowing stuff. There's also exercises. There's a number of exercises around bringing energy up the spine, and something I call the erotic will, which is creating outcomes, using sexuality to create outcomes in our lives. And there's even a section on, which is totally different than the other sections, on infinity practices. And infinity practices are practices that create deep intimacy with people without chasing pleasure. So there's ways to be intimate without, you know, going for the orgasm or trying to please somebody, where you're just fully present.
And
that's sort of, that's a Cliff Notes version of the second half of the book.
You know, you sound a lot like, I have had a woman on my show. She's one of the gifts I've gotten from doing this show. It's such a blessing to me. Is a lot of the people that I've had on the show have actually become personal friends. They're books that I've read over the years, and I end up having them on. And Diana Richardson is one of those people. She wrote a book called Tantric Orgasm for Women, and she lives in Europe. And her book is very different in the sense that it, what you just spoke about, is not advocating chasing pleasure or making it about orgasm, but about really connecting and experiencing each other and woman. Because I think a lot of men don't understand that woman is the receptacle and the vehicle for sexuality. To really, I mean, when a man falls
right
into a woman and follows a woman's sexual energy, he gets benefits and blessings that, you know, most mainstream men have no clue about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, yeah, and it's not about technique. Erotic will. This give us a little bit more of a tease on that one. No pun, but a little bit more about erotic will, David, if you would.
Well, erotic will is taking Basically, our unconscious minds are very interesting. If we are, we will say, I want a new car, or I want world peace, or I want to, you know, have a loaf of bread, whatever we want, I want this person. Our unconscious mind will, has its own agenda as to how to get those things. If you set an intention in a highly aroused state, and you anchor that intention to that state, your unconscious mind will start connecting that state to that intention. And you can actually create things in your life by helping your unconscious mind, by motivating your unconscious mind to look for those things. So in erotic will, one of the things that we can do is we can, I give very specific instructions in the book on how to do this, is we will get close to climaxing, and then we set an intention, and in that intention, we anchor the two. We're basically conditioning ourselves, kind of like, does the name Pavlov ring a bell? Right, we're conditioning ourselves to create an outcome in some place in our lives, and it could be world peace or an issue or whatever we want. And it's a very powerful tool that most people don't use because they don't know that it's possible. There's another piece in the book which is really interesting, is that when you do body work, when I do body work with a partner, the book is for couples, you know. When you do body work with your partner, deep tissue body work or massage, when that partner is in a highly aroused state, you can get profound changes in that person's body and in their spirit. It's amazing to watch somebody. You know, I've had partners, and when I've worked with them, and they've worked on me in these highly aroused states, and the body work happens in those states, you can get profound changes.
Yeah, it's really sexual healing. It really is what it becomes. It's
right, right.
Really, really.
So that's pretty much the second half of the book.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely, that'll be an area for future exploration for sure, because I know this is the stuff where the men turn back on, right?
I'm telling you, they won't believe it, but they'll try it, and they'll go, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is fantastic.
Breathing? Really?
Yeah.
You know, I also love, some of what you say, you know, about, I have a real big thing about pornography and what it's doing to denigrate and destroy our culture, and the young men that are growing up from very young age, learning about women and relationships through pornography and the destructive effects of that. And, you know, I was really happy to see in your book that just a couple sentences you wrote, our society has taken the most sacred aspects of our partnering, our sexuality, and made a mockery of them. We cannot allow profit-driven corporations to define our bliss. Our sacred temple has been desecrated, but we can take back our paradigm. And I really related to this because I think that, you know, sexual expression truly between two people that are committed to intimacy, whatever that looks like for two people, it looks like for those two people, is a really powerful experience, one of the most powerful experiences we can have in our lives. And it is sacred, and it is something that we need to look at and honor. And I think it has to do with honoring ourselves first.
Yeah, and the problem with pornography is, I mean, from my perspective, not so much the pornography. Like in the book, I say, you know, if you really want to become a bad lover, just do what they do in porn.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, you know, I mean, the problem is not the pornography. The problem is believing it.
Right.
You know, believing that this is the way things should happen. And you know, as adults, it's not a problem. But for a young man who's coming through puberty, to be anchoring his sexuality to really dumb stuff, really stupid things. Is a travesty, because he's not going to learn to honor women. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with pornography per se myself, but it's just kind of like, you know, if we play Dungeons and Dragons as teenagers, it's fine as long as we don't believe it. Or we watch a movie, you know, we watch Fantasia, as long as we don't believe it. But if we believe that that's reality, then we get into trouble, because it gets into our unconscious minds.
Yeah, I have a problem with it per se, because most of it, if not all of it, just the mainstream stuff is really violent and denigrating towards women, and that's just
right.
Not a paradigm I ever want to subscribe to in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So I think that, you know, the way that women are talked to, experienced, another guest I've had on my show, Professor Robert Jensen, wrote an amazing book called Getting Off, Pornography and the End of Masculinity. And there's a quote in his book that I don't have it exact, but it always sends goosebumps down my spine. It says, in pornography, women are just three holes and two hands for the mere purpose of exacting friction on the male penis. They have no hope, no life, no dreams, no presence.
That's true. You know, and Robert Masters actually believes that our fantasies emerge from our sexual fantasies that emerge from pornography are reflections of our deep wounding as men.
That would make sense. That would really make sense. And I think a lot of what it's creating, though, is that women are becoming a receptacle for men to dump their anger. Because I say this a lot to women, don't have sex with a man when he's angry. You know, unless it's, you know, highly evolved conscious people and you're working with the energy beyond just the average guy who's pissed off and wants to release, you're taking in that frequency, you're carrying that around with you, it's not good for you, it's not healthy, and I think pornography is raising that frequency of men being more and more aggressive and violent through sexuality. And women,
well, it's conditioning men to, if nothing else, conditioning men to be bad lovers and to treat women badly.
That's just not okay with me. And it's not, to me, it's not healthy for men either. It's not just that I object to it for women. I object to it for men as well. You know, I don't think it's
right, because it blocks intimacy.
Yeah. But in our last 5 minutes, David, I want to sort of briefly go over the sacrificing the good girlfriend piece was particularly powerful, I thought, in reference to both men and women. So if you could talk about that for a few minutes, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the... A former partner of mine began talking to me about this, and I started realizing, she actually called it the good girlfriend, and I realized that from a woman's perspective, her dilemma was that she needed to be ingratiating in order to, the belief was that she had to be ingratiating in order for men to love her. And when a woman feels that she can't reveal her truth, in other words, if she can't tell her partner what's really going on, because she's afraid she won't be loved if she reveals her truth, you've got severe problems in that relationship. And I think that, so I talk about the good girlfriend and the carnival mirrors, you know, the white knight and the good girlfriend. You know, the white knight always needs to be saving the day, and the good girlfriend always needs to be swooning, and that's not the way life is. You know, and if we cannot be with our partner, if we can't stand in her fire, We can't navigate that relationship. There's no, we're never going to see who she is. And in the book I write, you know, when those unspoken truths emerge into the light of day, they come up and bite us in the ass.
Yeah.
And it will, you know, they will, because if that woman has a truth that she's not an important truth, you know, an authentic truth, not a small truth, but a big truth that she's not expressing, yeah, then you got problems.
Yeah, and this happens.
I mean, I know couples I know, you know, the women have been, you know, 10, 20 years, they're not happy with their lovemaking, but they won't tell their partner.
Yeah, well, it's part of, you know, what I call the nice suit that women are given as their first garment. And,
right. You
know, what you have to say and do and be in order to be considered, you know, a nice girl, a good girl, a good girlfriend. There's even in the escort business, there's a girlfriend package where you can, you know, hire a woman and she acts like she's a girlfriend for you for the weekend. So there's this mythology about women not being able to express the Kali. They want you to, you know, that we have to just be Aphrodite, and Kali is not allowed. And I think that's what happens to most women premenstrually, and I talk about this a lot in my work, is it's the repression of expression that comes forth at a week, in that week before, when we are given sort of the truth serum. It's spiritual and it's biological, but the spiritual element is always overlooked when people speak about it. And what's real for us just kind of explodes, because it's imploding, that's the reality of it. But if we could be with it day in and day out and feel comfortable about saying what's so, then that doesn't need to happen.
It also depends on how she does it too. I mean, you can't be Kali and be in relationship without, you know, you can't sling, you can't blame. If a woman wants to be Kali in her relationship, she has to do so in a way that honors her partner.
Exactly, there has to be compassion.
And skills around not slinging, not blaming. You know, I'm angry, and you can let it out, and it's okay. And, you know, if you can do that without blaming, you've got something really special.
Yes, and on that note, my producer's giving me a 1 minute. Oh, God, this is awesome, David. I knew it was going to be from the read. So one more time, your website and where people can get this fantastic book?
My book is the website is davidbruceleonard.com, That's three first names, davidbruceleonard.com. And there are, you can go to the website and there are excerpts there where you can read pieces of the book, look at some of the illustrations, and or you can get it on Amazon. I'm sure there's a lot of places where you can get it on the web.
How to Worship the Goddess, Keep Your Balls. I'm telling you guys, fantastic book. Men that love what I do, I'm telling you, this guy is phenomenal. His work is, if you like what I do, you'll love his book. And ladies, there's a lot of information there that is so supportive and additional information from a whole other perspective for you. So I highly recommend this book. So I got a wrap. Have a beautiful week. Remember to love, honor, value, and respect yourself, and to do the same with other people. Have a beautiful week.
Until next week, remember, woman is the embodiment of beauty. That beauty is not skin deep, but it's soul deep and spirit fed. Live your truth and be radiant, and live it with wild, carefree, wanton, delicious abandon. Until next week, with love and blessings, I'm Gina Cloud.
Awake up.